In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There were two readings from the Gospel this morning, and the second one, easily identifiable, tells about that visit of Jesus to Martha and Mary, and Martha being concerned about serving and taking care of things that need to be done, and calling upon Mary to help her, and asking Jesus, why don't you ask her to help me? And he replies that Mary has chosen the one thing that is needful to be in the presence of God, to sit at the feet of Jesus, the Christ, and to be close to him, that one thing needful. But there were two parts in our reading from the letters of St. Paul as well, and not so easily identifiable, because it is the practice in the church to identify the first reading and then simply move into the next one. We did that with the Gospel too. But with the epistle we might not notice, so I want to point out where it started. The first words of the reading from the letters of St. Paul that we are reading because of the fact that today is a feast of the Theotokos, the feast day of the dormition, the falling asleep of the Theotokos. That verse begins like this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. These passages are read in three of the five feasts of the Theotokos through the year. From this letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Three out of the five. And so it must have some special significance where the Mother of God is concerned. Where the one that we have got to be like in order to bring Christ into the world. When she is celebrated, three out of the five times these passages are read. And there are two things about them. First of all, that first line that I just read refers back to things that have just been said in the letter. And if we knew our scriptures well, if we had been the people in Philippi who received the letter, even, from St. Paul, everything would be in place. We would understand what Paul was communicating to us. But when we read these passages, we have to make a special effort, either before or during or after, if we're going to put them into the same setting that they had for those who first heard them, and for those of the early church who were so much more familiar with Scripture than we are. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, refers to things that have already been said. And so I want to take a look at those things that have already been said. That chapter begins like this. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. So like-minded in all these ways. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so that first verse is a summary of all the things that have gone before. And then comes a reciting by St. Paul, which we heard this morning. And three times we hear it when there is a feast of the Theotokos. That recitation is a reciting of a creed that was already in place, that was already well known to the people of the Church of Philippi. And remember, if we've forgotten, The church in Philippi was the first church founded in Europe. It was founded in the year 50 AD during St. Paul's second mission journey. He founded this church. St. Timothy was with him. They had just met not long before that and had set sail from the city of Troy to the part of the world called Thrace. And Philippi was a port city in that area of Thrace. So this creed that we're hearing, this is very, very early. Now, St. Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. At the end of his journeys, he was under house arrest in Rome. And he wrote to the city that was, we know, his favorite city. This was a church that he was especially close to. First church founded in Europe, had always supported all of his work, all of his labors, all of his efforts. And he was very close to many who were there. It's really a love letter to those people from St. Paul under house arrest in Rome. And the theme of the letter is how to live our life in Christ. A life has been given, and we are called upon to live it. And St. Paul exhorts not just the people in Philippi, but all of the people that he writes to live the life that you are given. And we hear these passages on the feast of the Theotokos, both the feast that celebrates her birth and the feast that celebrates her falling asleep in Christ. And the other time that we hear it is Bright Friday, the first Friday after Pascha, the first Friday after the resurrection. What was the last Friday? The Friday of the crucifixion. And the next Friday, we hear this passage, and we hear this creed that we heard this morning about who Christ is and what he makes possible for us. And St. Paul, when he writes to his beloved people in Philippi, he reminds them of the kind of life that we are made able to live and that we are called to live. First, he describes what it is like to share in the same way of seeing the world that Jesus the Christ has. What it is like to live his life. And then he gives these words of the creed. Now, that creed was said during a liturgical service like our own. People were familiar with it already. He was putting it here because there is this inseparable relationship between the fact that the Theotokos gave birth to the one who is this new life. We need to join ourselves to him and who he is. And to do that, we need to know who he is. Here is the creed. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you can almost hear an amen. There's none written, but there would have been in the liturgical service. The creed serves the purpose of telling us who he is. But it's not important just in the setting of the liturgical service, where people are used to hearing it. Now they are hearing it here, where St. Paul is writing to them about living the life in Christ. reminding them that everything is lost if they don't actually live the life that we were given by God. And then finally, after he gives them the words of the creed, he goes on and says these things. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. They are the fruit of his labor, that they might live in this way, to continue in that life, to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. Is it already accomplished? No, it needs to be worked out in fear and trembling. The life in Christ is an ongoing life that we live amongst others, not in isolation. And it's odd how many times, even we who are Orthodox, when we seek to find out about the nature of the spiritual life, suddenly we revert, and it's God and us. It's all about me. But this isn't the life of Christ that St. Paul taught his people about. He always taught them that our life in Christ is lived amongst the others. That is an ongoing life, lived in the midst of others. And for us today, our temptation is to separate the divine liturgy on the one hand, make it into a formal service that we come to and serve together, and then go and try to live our lives in isolation in the world, as though we were not what we are, those who are sharing in the fullness of a life that we know was brought into the world from the body of a human being. And without that, which is why we celebrate the birth and the falling asleep of the Theotokos, without that bringing of the life of God into the world from the body of a human being, it would not be possible for anyone to live the life of God in the world, for anyone, any human being. And we are called upon ourselves, just as St. Paul is calling upon his people, to not make the whole thing in vain by not continuing to live this life, to work out our salvation in fear and trembling with the particular people that we live with, in the particular places that we live, and in the particular time in which we find ourselves. That is the nature of the Christian life, and that is how we are called upon to live our lives in Christ together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.